Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
How far down will Jesus go to save sinners? In Luke chapter 15, we find him dining with the tax collectors and the sinners and a bunch of leaders from the religious community condemning him for doing so. The parable he then tells exposes their awful attitude, which is really the parable of the older prodigal son. Today, Jesus will go down to the bottom of the barrel to pull out sinners. And what is the message? You need to recognize you are the one at the bottom of the barrel. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. So grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, the web address is agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio. Download the apps on our website at agradio.org for your iPhone or your Android phone so that you can take Abounding Grace Radio with you wherever you go. We've gone to a lot of work on that website and love to hear from you as there's a form to fill out there to write to us. That would encourage us a great deal. So grateful for our listeners here at Abounding Grace Radio and so grateful to air these gospel radio broadcasts to you. We consider it a great privilege. Here now is part two from Luke chapter 15 of the parable of the prodigal son that we started yesterday as we are still looking at and completing this first section of the Lord's story of the departing younger prodigal and the father's glorious reception of this great sinner. Let's listen to this today and be thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ as he has given his son so that all who believe in him might live and have life. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
His point was, that's how the family operated. It was like a little mafia. Fathers were the patriarchs. The children were in service to the father to maintain the name of the family. They lived in one big giant court or square, all close to each other with all the many rooms, and the family worked to preserve the family name. This is what you did in the first century. So the real picture that Jesus is painting here is he wants out. I mean, he wants out. And this is not like asking to get out of a gang. You know, you could pay the price if you do that with a mafia or a gang. This is the place of love. This is the place of fellowship. This is the place of care. He gets the goods right to the capital, takes his father's name, and he drags it through the mud. And within just a few days, he has run off to another country. You understand the gravitas of that? This is Gentile land. When a Jew heard that, Pharisees, he took all of dad's inheritance, dad's hard work, all the family gems, all the years of hard work that dad did to make a home for his son. Everything that dad worked for, hard. And he shamed dad. And he went and he spent it all. And not only did he spend it all, he did it with prodigal living, it says, with reckless, extravagant living. What kind of living? Well, put it in our terms. He dumped his family. He dumped his church. He disregarded all the years of Christian training he's ever had. He took the family name, dragged it through the mud, shamefully treated dad the way he did. Everyone saw the greatest amount of hypocrisy take place in this family. And after seizing the inheritance, he went down to Vegas with his wad, bought a Beamer, and then hooked up with all the women down on the Vegas Strip. It's the effect. Immoral, loose living. Whole life turned into an extravagant waste. Understand the message? Are we there yet? When we gratify ourselves, when we're searching for all the pleasures of sin, when we're living for more and more and more, and we're rushing for one pastor said, entertainment to the next, one high to the next. One big life's just one big party. This man is, he's a narcissist. He's a hedonist. It's all about him. He lives to maximize pleasure. It's what hedonism is. Figured it out? It's your story. It's your story. It's my story. People are trying to get away from God, ultimately. This is what they do. They want nothing to do with him. They view him as constricting. They view him as holding. They hate his authority structure. They want his provisions, though. Oh, yeah, no atheist in a foxhole, right? I mean, they'll beg for whatever to get it and run. It's a lie of the devil. You got to get out. You need to be free. You need to go spend. You need to do what'll make you happy. Anyone living outside of the will of God is the greatest waster of his life. And this prodigal runs. And he wastes everything of dad's inheritance. Dissipation, gluttony, drunkenness, you name it. We know parents who've had children who've done this. It's not flattering to the family name. It's the skeleton in the closet no one likes to talk about. It's painful. The parent feels like a giant failure. Sad, we stand back, sad what happened to that child. Oh, it's just so sad what happened to that child. Right? Is the picture bad enough? Jesus goes further. Now he has landed up and ended up in complete bondage to someone else who doesn't care a lick for him. And when, verse 14, he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He wasted all his inheritance, and he went and he joined himself there, the word glue. He joined. He became in union with somebody else. And this other master had absolutely no care for him. Just as if he went to a harlot. And Jesus gives us the rock bottom in verse 50. Jesus gives us the absolute rock bottom. We say that with people. Well, maybe sometimes people need to hit rock bottom. Jesus gives it right here. Here's rock bottom. And then verse 15 and 16, he was sent to feed with the pigs, and he was longing. This is where it all ended up. This is where all his extravagance brought him. This is amazing. You would think, if you had all your money and you had all the money to spend in the world, think about where this ended up. This is where it all ended up. He was feeding and wanted the pods that pigs ate. That's all that was left. No one gave him anything. Now, pause. Pharisees are standing there. He did what? He went to the pigs? to the Jew, that is the most unclean, foul, disgusting things that you could ever go hang out with. Pigs. Apologize to the pig farmers here. After all of his rebellion, after all of his squandering, he hits rock bottom, finds himself in the soot, in the grime of the pigs. And he's feeding with what they feed with. The man has trampled the name. The man has wasted the family inheritance. The man has ended up in loose living. He has departed to a Gentile land. He's united with the wicked. And he's ended up feeding with everything that's unclean imaginable. To which I say, that's where sin lands you. That's where sin will take you. Promises so much, and at the end of its long path is not just death. You're naked, yes, death, but you're naked on the way there, destitute, empty, and it ends in death. What a sad life. Now, Jesus just described who? The tax collectors and the sinners that he's sitting with. They ran. They tried it. And they're at the bottom of the barrel, man. I mean, they are at the bottom of the barrel eating with the pigs. That's whom Jesus has now come to sit with. And the Pharisees, why is God sitting with them? Well, they didn't say God. They didn't think Jesus was God, but it was God. And he's going around preaching in the regions, and the good news of the kingdom, and these tax collectors and sinners are the ones that are coming to him. Think about that. Lo and behold, those in the pigsty. And Jesus depicts what's happening in verse 17. This becomes the changing point for the young prodigal. This is right where Jesus is. Jesus is out preaching. This is the changing point for the young prodigal. It's one of the most striking moments of the parable in this despicable, horrid, wretched situation. All of a sudden, he came to himself. Boom. What am I doing? This condition I'm in, I've just wrecked my life and I didn't even see it. And then he starts to think about his father. I had no appreciation for him. He had thrown out everything he had learned. And all of a sudden the light came on. Lost. This is always the point of turning. Deep reflection of the path that you've chosen and the choices that have brought you ruin and misery. And that apart from the Father's house, this life is just hopeless. There's nothing to live for. Apart from the God of heaven and earth, you're unsatisfied, you're empty, but you could try it and it tastes good on the way, right? You're empty, you're lonely, you're miserable. Look at a young person who's chosen it. He wastes his all morning sleeping because he's been out late drunk. Question becomes, how can I return? It's what every sinner starts to struggle with. Is there a way back? How do you make this right? If I've done something so terrible, can God really love? What do I need to do? You struggle with your sins? Do you wonder about God's favor? Notice how Jesus paints the whole picture. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" What does he remember about the father? He remembers that he even treated his slaves well. Well, look what I'm doing. What are you seeing? What's Jesus describing? He's describing repentance. Here, all of a sudden, the heart is softening and it's humbled and it's broken and a contrite spirit starting to come out. And he says, here's my plan. Here's my plan. I'm going to at least give this. It's the only thing I have. I'm going to go back to him. I got to go back to him. And I've got to talk to him. I got to try to get back into that house. Maybe he'll let me back into the house. But I know what I got to say. The first thing I got to say is, I have sinned. Sounds like David. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what's evil in your sight so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. I'm going to go back with that kind of approach. Who knows what he'll do? Maybe, you know, I can just be one of his hired servants. I'd be glad to get in the house if I could just open the door. I'll be a doorman in God's house. This is what I have resolute in my mind I'm going to do. Even if I have to work for it, I'll try it. When a son did this in the first century, you know what would happen? They had ceremonies to disown rebellious children, by the way. They were completely written out of the family name, and if the son came back, he would publicly be beaten, and the principle of the Old Testament was still in the Jewish community, though they didn't fulfill that, they didn't stone. He would actually be put in front of the gate of the city, and there would be a public humiliation that would take place, and he would be expelled from the father's house, and rights would go to other children. You got to say, if many of our kids were living in the Old Testament theocracy, you wouldn't even see them today because they've been so rebellious they would be stoned. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our stubborn son and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Well, something similar without the stones took place of the shame. Pharisees at this point would have all agreed. What, you know, that's right. That something would have to be done, you know, some way to expose this man's awful path and bring on him the shame. He doesn't just get a pass back in. He doesn't just get a pass back into the community. His repentance needs to be proved. They all thought favor back into God's house couldn't happen until enough work was done and the son worked to restore it. Amen. Let him work for it. You bet. Here comes the most jaw-dropping moment of the parable. Jaw-dropping. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. He looks out, which means he's by the window, and he sees way off in the distance his son coming home. He's got nothing in his hands. He's covered in pig crap. He's coming thinking, I got to beg for dad's mercy. And the whole idea is not only had the father been waiting by the window, as soon as he sees him way out, just his little figure out in the distance, he bolts down the path. And the father wells up with compassion for his son. And the father runs to him. And the word expresses the sense. He dropped everything he could. And he ran as fast as he could down the path to his son. In the Middle East, this was a noble. They wore long robes. You can picture him lifting up the robe and bolting in shame to his son. He doesn't want him to be shamed at the gate. The father takes it himself. And the overwhelming truth of the parable is that the son was forgiven before one work was done. I'll go back and work. I'll go back. Was forgiven. You see what Jesus just portrayed? God the Father is represented as sprinting after sinners, embracing and going and getting them and bringing them back into the house. And he did it through his son. You want to know why the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus? Because Jesus portrayed God this way. You just defiled God. And this is his joy. So the son says, Father, I've sinned. Bring out the robe. Which means it was probably the robe for the firstborn. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. You give him the best. And then I want you to do this to my servant. I want you to kill a calf. I want you to prepare a feast. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. And see, now he's found. The graphic picture that Jesus just employed should have made everyone pause this morning, as it should have in the first century. Can that really be? When a sinner turns from his way, does God really take him back in? Does he really clothe him? Does he really feed him? Does he really love them? Does he really hold a feast? The fatted calf was killed. He's rejoicing over the fact that the son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. That's the issue. The son was dead and now is alive. That's the story of humanity outside of Jesus. They're dead, and with his cross event, he makes them alive. Ephesians 2. You who were dead, he made alive. We need to be reminded this morning of how long-suffering God is. Because if it were not for his long-suffering and compassion in my life, who knows where I or where you would be today? But I tell you what, it wouldn't be here. Some of you may be running right now and you just are ready to get out of the house. You are so close to bolting. Some sitting here, I don't doubt that's the case. But something keeps you. Your father's inheritance keeps you, whatever it might be. You're afraid of what you'll lose. You're still in the house and you're not here today. You understand that? And before you bolt, why don't you come today? Why don't you come now? Don't even try the path. Some may say, how does the father ever receive a son back like that? That's tonight's sermon. What does the Lord want us all to say? I'm the prodigal. And I have, in the course of my life, and who knows how many occasions, tried to bolt from God and get away from God. And sin is just that. Departure from God. Today, he's saying, come back. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek that one that's straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Isn't that glorious? So I close with this. Turn back to verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. To come to this table this morning, I want you to say, I'm one of those tax collectors and sinners. And with sincerity of heart, I want you to say as you eat and you drink, Father, forgive me. Thank you for giving me a place at your table by the blood and the righteousness of your Son. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for dining with me and feeding me with your body and blood to hold me. Thank you for feeding me a sinner, of which I am chief. He'll never despise or cast out those who come with that kind of heart. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, saying Father this morning means so much more. Thank you for receiving us this way. And thank you for giving your best, your only begotten Son, that you would bring prodigals home. As we feed now, and as we're assured of your love, would we all come with the kind of broken and contrite heart that we have seen here this morning in this young man, realizing that we've been in the pig slop times in our lives, and that today you ran and brought us back in. Thank you for your care and love. Forgive us our sins. Cover us in the rich robes and garments of Christ's righteousness and nourish us today in assurance of your love with his body and blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.